Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Fear, you're on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the road doing the Trump Report with Dr. Frank Tamburi driving as we're going to see the eclipse in northeastern Texas from Phoenix, Arizona. So, well, we had the chance. We had the girls up in the car ahead of us. We're just driving. Frank's driving, so there's a little bit of fear there. And we're going to be just yakking it here. Enjoy.
All of the Marvel movies now, they're all losing money. But if you're not a geek and you just see Iron Man, you hear Avengers, you just think that's what they're talking about. So they were using people's ignorance of the details to twist what they were saying with the fine print. It was astounding watching what they were doing. But anyway,
well, it only takes billions of billionaires that come in and they want to direct and being at their, you know, institutional investors or whatever, because you get to vote your stock, not individual people. So if you get some billion interest or they all overlap, all these different corporations do whatever, they're going to do what they want to do. And that's what they wanted to do. And this guy came in, had his own slate. They had their slate.
Right.
And at the end of this thing,
he lost.
He lost. Iger wins. They get everyone and everything they got. And then he comes out and say, oh, yeah, woke Disney's over. That was over. Don't worry. You know, it's the new Bob Iger.
No. So what has happened, guys? You're right. That's the Skippy the End version, is that Peltz lost. And by him losing, this was the last straw. This is like Ernie Hancock. I remember many of you listening. When Ron Paul lost, the so-called lost, we'll put that in quotes here, in 2012, when he lost, I remember many libertarians and Ernie said, okay, that's it. We gave it a shot to really make a difference out there. Now we're all for ourselves, right? That's when the workshop was shut down for different reasons. But the idea was, okay, we did our piece to educate people, but now the country's made its choice, and we're, you know, it's like this demarcation, this collapse is going to happen.
Decentralization.
We have to deal with ourselves.
We're going to save everybody.
Yes. And that's what's happened here. The fact that Peltz lost, given all of the warnings that he's given for over 3-5 years, all of the podcasts and all the proof about why they're losing money, so they still haven't figured it out. They want to triple down on this woke agenda. So therefore, what's happened this last week is countless podcasts and all have said Disney is officially dead. And that's not even being hyperbolic. It's like people have now just let go. There's no more discussion about Disney anything, Star Wars or Pixar. It's like, you know what? You guys won. You guys can have it. We're going to go make our own properties, our own IPs.
We're going
done.
To Universal We're Studios and ride there.
And yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I'll probably never go to a Disney park again. Like, I am done with Disney. It's like, you know what the only thing worse is when people get angry, they often say, is when they stop caring. When people don't care anymore, that's when they've really let go.
The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference.
Yes, right there. And that's where we went. When people were bashing Disney, it was actually, or Star Wars, it's because we loved it. We're trying to save it. But when after Peltz lost again and Iger's gloating, it's like we're done. We're done. And so Disney's stock, for those, in my opinion, those stock advice, but it ain't coming back because, you know, they literally burned half their audience, and now they're completely finished. Now, what Iger did through Marvel, what Marvel did the next day after Iger won against this coup, is they put out a press release for their next Marvel movie. And the next Marvel movie is the Fantastic Four. And the Fantastic Four is a very coveted movie that Marvel's never made. There have been prior versions of it from other studios, but Marvel Studios themselves never made the Fantastic Four. And it's an important movie to make because it's never been done.
Well, Fantastic Four is Marvel, isn't it?
No, it is. It is. Well, it's the ultimate Marvel story because it's the first Marvel comic book ever. It was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, and it was the first ever. Spider-Man came later. The Hulk came. Fantastic Four was the original that started everything Marvel. And so, but it's never been done properly, and Marvel Studios, now that they became popular,
had Jeff Goldblum in it.
It was horrible. But to do a Fantastic Four like of the Iron Man level of making it fun and staying true to the source, we were looking forward to. But this new Disney Marvel, yeah, it's gonna be wokeified, whatever. So anyway, to gloat that Bob Iger won is that they put out the Fantastic Four, and now the press release is that guess who one of the characters in the Fantastic Four is probably the most famous superhero slash nemesis in Marvel's history, the Silver Surfer. And I actually have the Silver Surfer issue one as a artwork collectible because it's actually worth real money. But
I've seen it. You got Stan Lee to sign it.
Yeah. And the Silver Surfer, that's like a famous cover. Well, anyway, he released Silver Surfer now is going to be a feminist. So a feminist, what do you call it, rock star woman playing the Silver Surfer.
Wait. The Silver Surfer is now female?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And it's going to be one of his girl bosses.
Yeah.
So they're going to make it a female. So, but the kicker is they released that.
Like, who's the actress?
We don't know. But he releases this the day after Peltz loses. So it's like gloating. It's saying, we won. And just to shove it up your, you know what? We're going to put the Silver Surfer, a woman. And we'll probably put the Thing, you know, the rock guy. Maybe we'll make him handicapped in a wheelchair and we're going to do this. It was just like in spite.
It'd be so a gay rock.
At this
a gay
point,
pet rock.
Yeah. But you know what? No one's going to talk about it. I mean, I don't even care. I don't even care anymore. And we're on to the world is going to have much worse problems. You know, my grandparents never cared about pop culture. And I used to wonder, you know, because I grew up with them, and they never understood our interest in Hollywood and people would read People magazine and going to the movies and Star Wars and the sports events. And I used to ask them, don't you have any hobbies? Don't you like any of this pop culture? And they had told me very solemnly once, they said the way that they grew up, they had no time for these sorts of things. To them, you know, in their day, it was just being able to eat and survive between the Depression and polio and World War II. And they worked hard to save every dime so they could give it to their children and just work hard and support America and their families. And that's it. Like what adults did. You know, what we do today is childlike, and it really is. I mean, you got adult men, you know,
living in the basement playing video games.
Yeah, play video games, and they have sports memorabilia and toys. They have toy collectibles. They don't even take out of the wrapper.
Sounds like Frank.
Well, I don't even have that, but good point though. But that is it's like you're stunned.
Oh. I go into, you know, before we left to go, Don and I go over to Frank's. I go into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he goes, did you notice what was in there? And I go, Pokemon card in a case. Would you see the back? No, I didn't touch it. I thought I'd get shot or something, you know. But so I had a Pokemon card there. It's a Trump with his mugshot on the back of a Pokemon card. I'm like, how in the heck did that happen?
Yeah, it's got all the special stats on it, and the special power I think is called Revenge, and then the sub power is called Drain Swamp. That's what it says on there. And I mean, I don't play Pokemon, but anyone who plays Pokemon looked at it and they're like, oh, yeah.
Well, how the heck did you even know that card existed?
The Trump Network, man. You got to be, oh, you got to be tied in.
Got to be tied in. Well, definitely Frank's tied in. That's for damn Skippy.
Yeah. So, but anyway, but what's going on with that Disney deal? I know it sounds like the same old story, but the fact that people now have just let go after that loss, that is a monumental second bite at the apple. And it just, you know, it's like we're done. We're divorcing. We're separating. You guys have Disney. Fine. We're going to now create our own studios. We're going to go to Angel Studios, make Sound of Freedom, which wound up making more money, that tiny movie, than Indiana Jones did. Remember, it actually made more money than Indiana Jones. We now have...
And it opened up against it.
And whether... Yeah, exactly. And whether Snopes is correct or not, this might be a joke, but I don't... It, to me,
doesn't
joke
matter.
Or not, doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Because that's what's happening. We are seeing this complete separation, demarcation, and, you know, the Daily Wire, everywhere. So we're going to see this as an acceleration over this next year.
Okay, before we run out of road.
Go ahead.
Do your 60-minute video thing.
Oh, jeez. All right, so.
And we're about dying, you know, waiting for you to get it up. I'm about to death. You're trying to find it on your phone, and now you're not playing it? I almost died.
Ernie's really dramatic when you get him going. This is fun, guys. Driving with Ernie. You guys should all try this. You should try this for your holiday someday.
Right.
So this is just a couple minutes here from a. It's a clip from a the 60 Minutes episode came out last year on AI. And many of you may have seen it. I heard it was a fantastic episode. I just saw it recently. You know, it's not that some of it was news to me. Most of it wasn't. And the fact that we've been covering for a while how not only powerful AI is, but how unprepared most people are of what this really is. I gave the equivalent last year that
guys,
I feel...
You guys got to learn the will.
I feel that AI right now is like the meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs, but the dinosaurs are sitting around just like, you know, chewing their cud and you know, bowing into the river. And
collecting their universal basic dinosaur.
Yeah. they're eating the seaweed or the leaves or whatever they're doing, and they every once in a while they peer up at the sky and they see this little bright light. They go, a bright sparkly light, and they go back and they keep eating. And then a few days later, it's just a little bit brighter, and they see this thing coming at them, but they don't recognize what it is. And I really believe that most humans, let alone especially Americans, don't really. I mean, they're starting to grasp it now. But I don't think they recognize what life-changing event AI is going to be in a short amount of time. I mean, they even say in the 60 minutes, and again, I didn't even watch it until just the other day, but you know, about 40% of all jobs are going to be wiped out like in the next like 5-6 years. Because that's how long it's going to take AI to get to the level to automate even white-collar jobs coupled with the economic collapse where they can't afford to pay for people anyway. So it's going to accelerate the AI takeover of everything so many levels, including getting rid of creativity.
And then all you need is hands. You know, you get the Tesla robot, you get hands, and AI, you're done. And this is one thing. It was, I bring it up every now and then because a good friend, Greg Tibnan, you know, farmer, you know, cattle guy in Missouri. Mm. I remember it was an article and he sent me a text or to the friends or something like this. It was awesome observation. And it went like this. Half of government agents or bureaucrats or 80% or whatever, and this was years ago, this was before even AI became a thing. And it said, 70% of government employees can be replaced with robots. And immediately he sent back 100% of government employees can be replaced with pictures of robots.
Yes.
I go, you the man, Greg. You the man. You know? So that's kind of my mindset, is that it's all worthless. I don't need and artificial intelligence to take on a lot of these paper push and report. Where's your TCP report? You know, like an Office Space, you know? Oh, about the TCP report. We're going to talk about the TCP report. And all of this paper pushing crap is just unnecessary garbage. I don't see any, it's accountants and taxes and bookkeeping and crap. It just doesn't, it's for reporting purposes and to go to another department to consolidate data to go to another department. It's so much of a drain on the system. I remember one of the times I was interviewing Patrick Byrne from Overstock, and he was saying, you know, one of the reasons that he created T-Zero, which is kind of a settlement thing for stock market to stop naked short selling. Well, that's a long story, but he was going, you look at, he calls it a pig's breakfast. It's like you have these equities and stocks, and then it goes here, and this guy gets a cut, and this guy gets a cut, and they front run. And he goes, when you send the money in to get equity in some company or something, you have this bleed that goes through all these people, get a cut and make a bunch of money with no productivity. There's no increase. It's just like a legalized form of just drain on the entire system. And that's what blockchain promises to change, is that with artificial intelligence, blockchain, whatever, you can streamline all this, but you can also streamline your enslavement, streamline their drain on the system, streamline their tax. It's like no economic activity from 13-year-old kids mowing your lawn to babysitting your kids will escape. They're getting a cut in their transaction tax of any commerce at all. And that is what they're looking for. And then to control what you can and can't spend on, what's available. I'm sorry, you've reached your carbohydrate limit and your fat content of you can't have sausage on your pizza you want to order. I mean, it's just, this is stuff that we've been warning of, and it's possible, which means what? It's going to happen. Because they go, Ernie, you conspiracist, do you think they would do this or that? Or what? I'm going, I don't know. Can they? Well, this is, they can. So guess what? Here it comes. And it's going to come down that people will have to extract themselves from that system. It's going to have to be parallel economic systems. You're going to have to be able to make widgets and sell widgets without going through their legal tender of it's legal to have GoldmanSachs.gov coin because they get a cut. You're not allowed to have competing cryptocurrencies. You're not allowed to have precious metals. You're not allowed. Not allowed because you're not allowed. And I'm going, okay, I just want everybody to understand that. What does that mean? The financial incentives and the punishments is going to be such that everything's a gray market and go underground. And you go, well, that can't, what the hell, it didn't. That's what kept Russia functioning. During the Soviet Union, the black market was the free market. That's what worked. You didn't think that it was gonna work that way? What they were doing when people, I remember hearing stories of people when they traveled to Russia, they would confiscate blue jeans because they were like currency. You had a bunch of blue jeans, and you knew you get some stuff done. You get laid with blue jeans, you know. You have Elvis Presley and blue jeans. It was the market determines what is and is not of value. And good, bad money will chase out good money. So when you got these bad cryptocurrencies or reporting or non-privacy or you got to have whatever, that the good money is going to leave the system and go into a parallel economy. And it's going to happen. And that's why we have blackmarketfridays.com and agorist.market and, you know, a lot of our agorist market on Telegram. It's setting up the infrastructure for people to be able to survive. And that's what we're planning on doing. Bob and I and the people that we know and, you know, his sons and so on, we're out in the remote west area, west of Phoenix, out in the desert out there, which, I mean, you know, there's, you know, hundreds and thousands of people that are out there, but, you know, it's a decentralized, autonomous individuals that have a community that is heavily Hispanic. You know, a lot of Hispanics have their food carts out there on the corners and selling beef jerky and burritos, tamales are us, and it's just, it's awesome. And I'm, you take that kind of community and you introduce a currency or a crypto that works or an easy way to market your wares and people know where to go, and you have a, and they have it. They have these all over in the rural areas. They are farmers markets, and they'll have people that bring food, soaps, you know, more healthy, you know, whatever the hell. You know, it's going to be a labor-intensive cash, dig my ditch, do my whatever, and it's going to happen because it has to, because it can't not, because it doesn't work, whatever they're doing, and these people will survive. And then those shiny badges will come up. Here's guys with the clipboards, you're doing it wrong. You're not paying your fair share. You're not whatever. And then, you know, I went through this before Tonopah, the west area we were, before the valley started moving out there, on the edge years ago was a community called Levine, which was a lot closer in, you know, where we are out there. Well, that's why Greg Tibnan, a good friend of mine, he and his wife and daughters moved to a farm and started, you know, herding cattle in Missouri. And that was, they left there to go there. So I'm going, okay, why? Okay, he saw his first golf course within a mile or so of his plant. And we're done, you know, it's time to leave. Well, what happened was they were a community that was, you know, just stay away from the man. We don't need anybody out here. We don't want. And there was, that's a long story. But the sheriff's department started hassling people and going out there. All right, you want the man out here because all the car theft and so on. You want to tell, well, we're gonna be here and we're gonna pay for ourselves out here by giving tickets to everybody. So they're pulling everybody over and just harassing and being a pain in the ass. All of a sudden, rifle shots started going over their heads. You know, people were shooting at them. They have people stopped over. Boom. You got a high-power rifle going, you know what, I ain't going out there no more, you know. So this is what's going to happen, in my opinion. They're not going to be, the government demands, not going to be welcome.
From Philadelphia, we expect a declaration of independence.
Our rights are being threatened by a tyrant 3,000 miles away.
Would you tell me, please, Mr. Howard, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? An elected legislature can trample a man's rights as easily as a king can. Mark my words. This war will be fought not on the frontier or on some distant battlefield, but amongst us, among our homes. Our children will learn of it with their own eyes. And the innocent will die with the rest of us.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump intends to file a lawsuit against the judge overseeing his hush money case in New York. According to the New York Times, the lawsuit aims to challenge the judge's gag order, potentially delaying the trial. The Biden administration has introduced a new plan aimed at reducing student loan debt for over 30 million borrowers. The plan targets borrowers facing runaway interest, those who have been making payments for two decades, and individuals eligible for income-driven repayment schedules. The White House predicts that the plan could eradicate accrued interest on the unpaid balances of 23 million borrowers. Teams are currently removing cargo containers from the ship that collided with the Key Bridge in Baltimore late last month, resulting in its collapse. Coast Guard officials report steady progress in removing sections of the bridge from the ship to alleviate its weight and facilitate movement. Over the weekend, laborers successfully extracted the initial piece of the bridge. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Dr. Frank Tamburi, the Trump Report on the Road. Dr. Frank's family and ours are going to the eclipse in northeastern Texas from Arizona. And while on the road, we're just yakking it. Enjoy. Government demands not going to be welcome because they're not there to service you. They're there to service you like a bull wants to service you. They want to, you know, make, yeah, somebody out there, they got to make money to pay for that deputy being out there. So it's gotten to the point to where this is going to happen all over the country. It's happening in the cities. There is no service. I remember when Detroit shut down the lights, they would no longer come out for emergency calls, 911, for fire, police protection. In some areas of Detroit were so bad, so much crime, they said, we just lopped you off. We're not doing it anymore. Then people started, all right, fine. We don't need permission. They just started taking abandoned houses. They were creating markets. They were opening up. People were repairing, cleaning, fixing, gardening, doing. Then all of a sudden, here comes the politicians. They got a, you know, the red ribbon and the big scissors, and boom, we're opening back up to you. because we fixed it. What? Get the hell out! I don't want you guys here. I would have freaking no, the hell no. We're not helping you, you know, now that we're being productive again. They wanted to rape them. You know, they wanted to harvest them. They wanted to, you know, take their resource. They wanted to get them back on as taxpayers. We're going to give you services again. What if you don't want it? What if you're good? What if you're wee out in the, you know, none your business? And then what? You know, can you take care of yourselves? That is the threat. The fact that you will, the fact that you can, the fact that you inspire, you demonstrate that you're better off without them, that is when they come out and explain it to you. And we're going to document it. I guarantee it. Watch this. FYI.
Let me bring up to the AI for a minute. Actually, you keep talking. It looks like the car, our wives called us here. Let me see what they're doing.
I don't want to talk to them. We're talking.
Yeah, we're talking.
Did they text me or anything?
Sorry, audience. All right.
Well, play your thing, man.
So, yeah, this is a good time. So here's the thing. We're talking about with AI, and I'm going to be really careful because I definitely want to bring up the C word here. But Ernie was talking about philosophy and about freedom, and I could not help to at least bring something up, which, you know, when you travel around the world, you start to see just how different, how America, how we, things that we take for granted are not assumed or taken for granted around the world. And like, for instance, owning a firearm, just the concept that you can own a firearm isn't just, well, you know, it's kind of like in the different states with firearm laws. In some countries you can have a gun, some you can't. It's not just binary that way. It's more just the philosophical of the concept that you can own a gun and you can shoot somebody. I mean, it's like not even conceivable for them. It's almost like someone who doesn't understand the world is round, or we're about to see this eclipse and you don't know what an eclipse is, and it's the eye of God. I mean, you have no frame of reference. I know it sounds a little hyperbolic, but anyway, they're talking about it with AI, and they were saying one of the challenges to AI for the companies is the upcoming challenge with China, and that China is, if not already, surpassing America and Silicon Valley in AI technology. That most of Silicon Valley and Americans don't realize China's priorities surpass them. And there'll be
with a lot of our tech.
Exactly, with our tech. But there's two reasons. Well, three, I guess. One is the economy. They have a stronger economy, supposedly. Then you have the fact that they stole our tech and a bunch of our people and the brain drain, in different ways. But on top of that is the fact that they don't have a Bill of Rights or a philosophy, I won't say the C word, of freedom that America has. And so that privacy issue keeps getting in the way of AI achieving what its potential is. And I say potential in air quotes here. You know, what do you mean potential? And it's because if you don't have protections against privacy, then you can let the AI just go rampant with cameras everywhere and keep getting just brute strength data collection to get more and more powerful. And China doesn't have any of these restrictions. So this is why there's an accelerant going on in China with AI. And America companies keep hitting all these barriers of this damn pesky Bill of Rights, you know, all these freedom crap that gets in the way. So the 60 Minutes guy was in China, and he was walking around, this AI expert who is like a celebrity in China. He's going around, and all these young people are getting his autograph, and this guy's like a real celebrity. He's like an Elon Musk over there. And they're going around, and he starts the 60 Minutes guys. He's interviewing young people who are just using their phones and AI technology for everything, more than Americans are already. And he's just asking, well, what do you think about the privacy issue? And it's hard to tell over the audio. I'm going to play this. It's only a couple minutes. But just imagine when you're watching them, you can see in these people's faces, they can't understand what he means by privacy. Like, they can't even wrap their head around inalienable rights that you have something. You got to keep in mind, inalienable rights in the Bill of Rights is that our freedoms, our autonomy comes from God. It doesn't come from the government.
It comes from a higher authority.
Exactly. It comes from God or higher authority. Whereas other countries, or if you get rid of religion, which our country has done fairly successfully, then if you get rid of God, then your freedoms are being allowed from the state. And that is a completely different way of looking at freedoms. And from the state, then your freedoms are dictated by whoever's in charge. It's not from an inalienable higher power.
The only rights you got are the ones you defend. I'm just telling you.
That's true, too. That's true, too. So anyway, this will give us a break for a minute. But, yeah, let's just put this on.
Well, let me do it, and I'll hold it while you drive.
All right. So here we go. Just hit play and...
Where's your microphone?
It comes out the bottom. Let me make sure it's loud. So, yeah, there we go. Hit play. All right.
Quit waving around. All right, you tell me when.
Just hit it.
They, too, are alumni of America and here with a dream for China. You have written that Silicon Valley's edge is not all it's cracked up to be. What do you mean by that?
Okay, Scott, you have to speed on.
No, you're touching it. If you touch it with your thumb, it does it automatically.
Oh, it goes... Where did you have
it? Oh, jeez.
I touched it. Where was it? What?
Well, I can't tell you what it was. I had it perfectly
set. Well, you had it set.
What did you do?
I touched it.
Oh, jeez. All right. I got to find it again.
He's got to find it. We'll let him find it. Freaking Apple.
All I already had to do is hit the play button, and he's like,
I turned it forward. I wanted to know where the speaker was, put it in the microphone.
All right, Grandpa.
And then I touched it.
Yeah, all right, Grandpa.
Yeah.
All right.
Boomer.
Boomer.
Yeah, somebody was doing, I remember one time Corbin and I did a show, and in the comments, we don't care what that boomer, they're referring to me. You know, like, you know, he's a boomer. And I'm like, what? Really? That's, you know, the old guy? Hey, he's just old. Crickety old Ernie. And I'm like, you know, whatever. You know, I'm a boomer. I don't think I'm in the boomer. I think I'm a senior citizen of the X generation. I was born in 61. I think that puts me at senior citizen of X, assuming that I give a crap anyway. But I'm a libertarian. You know, this is one thing that was interesting. During the, as an aside, the Levolution, it didn't have a demographic. It wasn't a race or a religion or an age or anything. It was just liberty, freedom oriented. It was awesome. And everybody spoke the same language, you know, understood why they were there and what was important. I'm happy about the future and abundance, but it's got to go through this crap. And it's exactly what Frank was talking about with Disney. You know, Iger gets back in there, and we're going to maintain control of the board. We're going to, and Silver Surfer's the female, and ha-ha, and we beat out these guys. You know, because now they have a belief in shiny badges. They believe that because they have the Disney logo on there, that they're going to be able to wield it and use it to do whatever the heck it is that they want. You know, we are in charge. We determine. We, so saith this here title, this shiny badge, this company, this icon, this logo, this legacy, this, you know, where Generation Next, you know, these young kids, they don't know. They don't care. There's a whole fresh new whatever. They just, well, it sucks and I don't want to watch it anymore. And you know, my youngest daughter, her two young sons, they are, you know, watch crazy, I don't know, little animation, whatever the heck's on TV. And you sit down there and you watch it with them and you're going, yeah, I'm not really cool with this, you know. Certainly Nickelodeon. And it's like watching Netflix, you know. That's why all the memes are, you know, they have all these traditional things, Little House on the Prairie, and it's all black lesbians or something.
By the way, that's a little tangential. Did you hear about that Nickelodeon documentary that came out this past year? It's like went friggin' viral. It just came out. It's called, I forget, the Celluloid Closet or something closet. Anyway, it just came out, and it's like a 6-part series about Nickelodeon and how the entire show during the 90s and all the Hannah Montana,
yeah,
all the molesting the kids and how, yeah, why all these women like Amanda Bynes and all of them and Britney Spears and her sister Jamie Spears, and she got knocked up by supposedly one of the producers. I mean, why they all have drug problems, why all their parents have them on conservatorships, like they were all, I mean, just how they were used at, basically just prostituted by their own family and the system of those that care about the children of Nickelodeon. So we're going to see a huge backlash on Nickelodeon, and a lot of the kids who are now adults who grew up on those shows, especially the more woke side, you know, the Me Too movement, they're going to have probably real counterclash anger towards that world. Let me put this on. I can do this, Ernie. You're not safe around electronics, but here, let me just do this. It's really easier. So let me just play this. Let's be just a couple of minutes. This is again from 60.
Well, make sure it goes straight into the.
Yeah, it is. This is from 60 Minutes. It was like last year, 2023, around this time. If you haven't seen this, it's a full hour on AI. I highly recommend it. They interview the head of Google about AI, and you know what the theme of all the pieces. Is that you have all these AI experts calmly talking about their new toy and just showing how amazing this thing is. And yet they all are John Hammond.
And there's a big lawsuit Elon filed against OpenAI and Sam Altman bringing all this stuff up. And they just thought, you read the lawsuit. I watched an evaluation of the lawsuit, and it's pretty scary.
But what's astounding is they're all a bunch of Dr. Frankensteins, like, or John Hammond from Jurassic Park. They have like no empathy or even attention to talk about what this will do to humanity. This guy, I don't know if he says it in this clip, this Chinese gentleman, AI expert, you know, when he's finally asked by the 60 Minute guy, well, what is this going to do to jobs? And he just says, oh, about 40% of all jobs are going to be gone, you know. And people will find this something else to do, or, you know. It's like 40%, and you should hear the 60 Minutes guy. He's sitting there thinking,
No, we'll never hear it. You know, play it.
Just imagine, it's not in this clip, but just imagine for a minute if a politician said he was going to change a tax or change a rule and it was going to end 10% of all jobs in America as we know it. Just imagine the hubbub of just 5% of all jobs. I mean, just 5%. There would be outrage. It would be the number one topic people talking about. And here it is, 40%, based off of a technology that no one's regulating. I'm not saying someone should, right? Is the libertarian side. Do we need government regulating something that they themselves don't understand? But technology is moving so quickly that even the legislatures, even if we want people to regulate, they themselves don't understand the technology of where it is to even try to regulate. So when you have ignorant politicians, which is almost kind of a non sequitur there, for them to sit there and be in charge of something that they don't even understand, do I really want them regulating? Not necessarily. But when you've got such profound changes coming and no one's minding the store, and you've got these eggheads who have no life experience, who are just very intelligent people, many of them, like Elon Musk, have like border, not autism, but Asperger's. You know, many of them are very smart. They're not quite with it with social issues. They admit it, which is why they're so smart. But it doesn't mean they understand where life is. And when they can calmly say 40% all jobs going in just one example and not look at the human element or what it means to people, like, you'd think at least you'd check in with maybe your priest at least and say, what do you think about this? They have no concept. And that's the part that is daunting and scary, and the post-humanist agenda these people have. And they're speaking and forcing the future on all of us without anyone having a say. Now, granted, Ernie would say, well, we all have a say, just decide not to do it. And that is true. And that's where the upcoming change is.
Well, we were at our one of our sons over Easter weekend, last weekend, and they, you know, as a family, they all got together. They had to watch the new episode of Three Body Problems.
Okay. All right, everyone's talking about this show. So
have
at
you
least,
seen it?
No, I keep everyone talk about it. So you tell me if it's worth checking out.
Hey, wait a minute, I got to turn you down.
Yeah, sorry.
Set up for the thing. Okay, say something.
Yeah, this is the informal episode, guys.
No, yeah, put it up there.
Yeah, well, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, say something.
Something.
All right, that's good. All right. I had to reset it. Yeah, that's why Frank is driving, because I'm like playing, you know, host. The board op. It was called the Three Body Problem. You know, Three Body Problem.
So you did see it, right? You did see it?
No, I did watch it. Yeah. So I watched their episode, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I'm like looking while they're watching it. It was interesting. They watched like two or three, I binge watch a few episodes to get to the end of the first season, which I think is 8 episodes. So then it's like, you know, next season, whenever. Well, I guess it's a big deal. You know, I don't hear about it. I don't know. don't care. But
it's based off of a book.
But it was a based on a book that real popular. It's got a lot of, and they had to muscle it onto Netflix anyway. But basically, what it starts off is that it starts off in Mao China, the Cultural Revolution in China in, like, you know, the 60s. And what happened, it shows a lot of, like, going on now. The youth, you know, this guy, he's an intellectual that says this about that, or, you know, he repeated something Einstein says, so they got to kill him, you know, that kind of thing. So it became a very, you know, traumatic deal about how the control of government on everything. So it got my interest there to watch the first one. Well, they were just watched episode 6, 7, 8 or something like that. So when I was last night, or night before last, we went to my daughter's home as a staging area. We could pick up some stuff and leave the next morning to go to Frank's, and then we leave on this trip. So that one night before, I had just enough time. We got there, and I stayed up till midnight or whatever to watch, like, 3 or 4 episodes to watch the whole thing. Right?
You did. You binge-watched it.
So I binge-watched, you know, the first ones and watched the last two. So I got the whole first season in, ha, ha, ha. So I go in. I watch this thing. What it was about they used a radio signal, the Chinese doing something to answer a ping from a interdimensional or long-away alien race around a three-star system or whatever. And the point was, is the reason they call it the three-body problem is that you had to figure out in some way of the orbit of a Earth-like planet, I guess, around one of the suns that sooner or later it got, you know, after so many eons or whatever, it got in a gravitational chaos that threw it out of a different orbit, and it was going to destroy this planet for everyone, and how long this chaos happened, and then they go into some kind of hibernation, and then they rehydrate. It's just a weird thing, you know. So they have this headset that they somehow created or sent or somebody built, and it creates a real tactile virtual reality that you're in, and they have all these scientists that they're trying to recruit, and it becomes a religion that they have these people that follow, that be their arms and legs, and they're coming to the Earth, but they're not going to be here for like 400 years. So between now and then, and the first season is like the beginning of this, as they're kind of killing the right scientists that could stop or thwart them. They go, in 400 years, humans are kind of creative, and we can't have that. So we're going to, like, you know, kill off these guys because these technologies that they're working on is going to have. Well, how do they know? Well, they got these sophons or something, or particles that, you know, are entangled with particles there with real-time communication, of yada, yada, yada. They get in all kinds of quantum crap. But the point was, is that it started off with the Cultural Revolution in China. And it said, don't answer. Don't push this button. Don't, you know, let them know we're here. Don't worry. But it was, things were so bad with the Cultural Revolution, this one Chinese scientist just pushed the button because how bad can it get? You know, it's not going to be worse than this. So that's kind of the beginning of it. And then there's another one that they have a social thing in Korea about the player to the death of, I can't remember what it was called. You know, it was something that was really popular there for a while. And I'm like, eh, you know, it really didn't interest me. But this one was kind of interesting, and it showed the Cultural Revolution that was going on in China, where the youth were any of the, it's kind of the same thing with the killing fields in Cambodia. Any intellectual, anybody that had kind of Western, hell, even physics, I mean, just any truth, there was, nope, you just do what the party says, what the collective, the top. And I feel that these are all kind of the modern day version of 1984s. It's Hunger Games, you know. It's Gladiator, Patriot, Braveheart. I mean, you have all these media things that are being used to try and say something that the author wants to share. And I'm really glad to see that this is happening, but I know to what end. What is it that they're learning? What is it that people are starting to understand is the problem? And it's always they're trying to he's got to yield, you go. They're trying to convince you that there is a central plan solution, that if we all come together and sit down, shut up, or get out, or do what you're told kind of thing, is now starting to not be functional. It's not supplying food to the masses. And that's one thing, it's always going to be a food thing. That's how you're going to know that it just didn't work. Well, this is going to be wrap up for the first. We're pulling in, and everybody's got to go to the bathroom and so on, and we're over, 2 hours, which it seems like this lasted longer. When we're in the studio, this is what I feel like after 6 hours. But so we're just letting you know, you're taking you on our trip. We're now in wherever the heck, desolate Texas or something. And this is Southwest Texas sucks, man. Who the hell wants to live here? I'd rather live in the desert of Arizona. This is pretty bad. But, that's America. Peace, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll get this up as soon as I can. Say goodbye, Craig.
Later.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.